Studios Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, our guest this next half hour. I am so excited to have her on. Sarah Godlewski, who is the current state treasurer of Wisconsin and former U.S. candidate for U.S. Senate, joins us to talk about what she's been up to since she ended her campaign, because unlike some other candidates who sometimes, once they finish their campaign, they go on vacation, they go do other things, they go back to their normal lives, you have been quite busy.
Oh my gosh, Kristen. Well, it's so good to be on your show. And I will tell you, I'm losing my voice. I know that you covered the debate with Mandela yesterday, but I was screaming because he did such a good job yesterday. And I know that you probably recapped, but I do have to say my favorite moment yesterday was when he said, probably Ron Johnson, the best thing you did was say, I do.
I know.
So I thought that was a real...
There were some zingers.
Yes.
There were some zingers yesterday. That is for sure. A little spicier than last week's debate.
No, exactly. It was for sure. But look, like, as you mentioned, for me, when I got out of the U.S. Senate campaign, something that I started thinking about is, what can I do? Because we know in Wisconsin, we're only winning by 2 to 3 votes per precinct. That's it. And I had all these emails and I had all these text messages and I had an infrastructure for a U.S. Senate campaign, which is pretty significant. And in talking to folks across the state, there are two things that really kind of, I guess, came to light or shined a light on things we've got to, you know, do. One is choice. I mean, when half our population now has fewer rights than they had just a few months ago, and we're not going to do, like, nothing's going to change in regaining these rights anytime soon. We've got to make sure we are electing candidates that believe in reproductive freedom.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like the first big piece. And then the second big piece was like, we're 6 votes away from losing the governor's veto and becoming a Republican supermajority, Kristen. I mean, 1 seat in the Senate and 5 seats in the Assembly. And to me, like, democracy in Wisconsin is this 3-legged stool. We've got to make sure we reelect the governor. We got to have Governor Evers in place again after November. We've got to make sure that we send Mandela Barnes to the U.S. Senate. But if we lose the legislature, this, like, democracy stool becomes uneven. And so for me, I've been focusing on 6 women in these very competitive districts that will only win by a few votes because we just can't allow our state to become a Republican supermajority. There's checks and balances for a reason. And when you live in a 50-50 state, you shouldn't even be having these conversations the way that we are right now. So that's what we've been focusing on, Kristen. It's been going really well.
That's amazing. So actually, I wanted to see, do the cross-reference. So which 6 candidates' campaigns are you focused on?
Yeah, so let's start with the incumbents. So there's 2 incumbents that are on the Assembly. One is Lee Snodgrass up in Appleton.
Yep. And I'm trying to do the cross-reference of how many we've gotten on the show.
Okay.
So we had Lee.
Okay, good. So Lee. And then the other one is Katrina Shanklin from Stevens Point, who's been serving almost for a decade. She's incredible. And then the 2 other Assembly candidates are Luann Bird from Southern Milwaukee. I don't know if you've had Luann Bird.
We have. I actually just bought my ticket for her show at the Cooper, at the show at the Cooperage next Thursday. So yeah, Luann is a delight.
Yes, Bird is the word. If you haven't joined her flock, you need to check it out, as she likes to say. And then the 4th one is Lori Palmieri from Oshkosh. Gordon Hintz, who used to be the leader of the Democrats on the Assembly side, he has since retired, and so she's running in an open seat. So those are the 4 Assembly candidates, and then the 2 Senate candidates are Janet Buley's open seat, which is Kelly Westland up in northern Wisconsin, so Superior, Bayfield, Ashland area. And then the other one is Chris Alfheim. She's also running in an open seat in the Fox Valley area.
And so,
have you had all 6 on your show?
We have not had all 6. We haven't had Lori. I think we've made the reach to Lori, but I don't think we've scheduled yet. And then who's running for Janet Buley's seat? Tell me her name again.
Kelly Westland.
We need to get, yeah. So we haven't gotten Kelly, but everyone else we have gotten on, which is, what's been incredible to me is the amount of women who are running, the amount of women who are putting themselves in campaigns where they are the underdog because of our maps, and still running full force at taking it all on. And I don't know if that says something as far as women's commitment to just getting it done and putting themselves out there despite all the other responsibilities that they have. But it has been very refreshing to have the conversations with as many down ballot candidates as we have, because I feel like, and you can tell, so you've run for statewide office twice now. One was when you won for state treasurer, and the other one was obviously for the primary for Senate. And not that things get lost on the statewide or for like federal seats, but it's easier to wrap your hands around in some of these state Senate and assembly seats as far as who your districts are and the conversations that you're having. And to hear the conversations that the candidates or incumbents are saying that they're having, it gives me more hope as far as the real conversations, even with people who may not vote for you, but at least in a face-to-face conversation, you can cut through the rhetoric. And I don't know, since you've been on the ground with some of these candidates, if you've found the same thing or if it's felt different than when you were running statewide campaigns.
Yeah, I will say that I think there's something about these women and they're the reason they're running. I mean, they talk about, for example, civility and, you know, forging partnerships to get things done, because to them, it's not about who's right or who's wrong. It's about service and serving their community. And it's interesting, Kristen, because I actually was talking about women in public service just on Wednesday, and something that, you know, an example that I gave is when I was first elected state treasurer, I reached out to every Republican in the Assembly and Senate that I could, just to like get coffee and figure out where can we find common ground, because we love our state. That's why we're running. That's why we're serving. And I will tell you, the best responses I had were from the women Republicans. They were the ones that responded. They were the ones that were willing to meet and get coffee and talk. And so I think that there is something said about that. And so, you know, when you see these Democratic women running, I really do believe that civility is a big piece of it. They want government to work. They want to serve, and they're willing to get the job done.
Absolutely. We're talking to Sarah Godlewski, who is the current state treasurer of Wisconsin and former candidate for U.S. Senate. And so as far, because there's two parts of the PAC, right? There is, so the PAC is called Women Win Wisconsin, and there's one part, which is Women Save the Veto, which is what we were just talking about with the different candidates that you're supporting. And then there's also Women Against Ron, a.k.a. War. Do we have that song? War. What is it?
Well, and it seemed, I mean, it couldn't have been more picture perfect, Kristen, when we're like Women Against Ron and like War Pack. I mean, because this guy is truly like waging a war against women. I mean, the things that he says about whether it is reproductive freedom or childcare or even like paid family leave, it's just straight out of the 1920s. I mean, it's horrifying. Like I'll never forget when he was talking about reproductive freedom and he was saying, well, you know, ladies, if you don't like it, you should move. And I'm like, or we should just vote you out is really what it should be, because you don't have your rights taken away, so you can just talk like that. But I will tell you, as somebody who now has fewer rights, like, that's not okay. And I think the fact that politicians are now saying that they should make healthcare decisions over medical experts and doctors is scary. And if we can take away rights now, like these rights today, like what rights are tomorrow? And I think I was actually reflecting on this last night, Kristen, and thinking, you know, this is the first time in generations where we have an election where rights have been taken away, not gained more. Mm-hmm. Like we're actually in a subtraction, not an addition. I mean, I think about when gay marriage became legal and, you know, people are gaining more rights and how that was like a celebration and embracement. And here we are taking things away. I mean, I just don't think that that's the future we want, not just for ourselves, but for our children.
And it was interesting. I had this thought on my drive in today, as far as I want to do the research of all of our elected officials right now, specifically who are men, specifically who are not standing up or in favor of reproductive freedom, and look at what their day jobs are or their past jobs, since at least in the state, even though the state legislature is supposed to be a full-time job, a lot of these people still have jobs, and being like, you're a real estate agent. Like, why are you making decisions about healthcare? Because most of them do not have a medical background whatsoever. No. And, you know, Ron Johnson, whether how much he has is credited to building that company. I know that the big zinger last night was that he married into it. But regardless, it's a plastics company. What does that have to do with reproductive? Like, what do you know about a uterus?
Right. Right. And healthcare decisions. And I don't know if you've had any medical students recently on your show, Kristen, but I've had conversations. We have two medical schools here in the state of Wisconsin, one in Madison and one in Milwaukee. And I've been talking to their residents and they're like, Sarah, you know, we don't know if we want to complete our med school.
That's what we're just talking about.
You know, because we want to go to Illinois or Minnesota because we're afraid that government interference with medical science is become a priority. That's not what it should be. And the fact that they are, you know, we are seeing this in Wisconsin is really a deterrent for folks now thinking about going to medical school here or leaving early. And for me, this is scary for a number of reasons, but one is most of our doctors in rural Wisconsin come from one of those two schools. Yeah. And so if our pipeline even shrinks further, we already don't have an OBGYN in most counties in the state of Wisconsin, Kristen. And so to know that that's going to shrink even more, it's just horrifying.
And we only have like a minute and a half before the break. So I'm going to hold what I want to say, collect my thoughts, and we'll continue the conversation when we come back from break, because it baffles me of how much all of these things are interconnected when we talk about population, working age population, work shortages across so many different industries, and that the people who are in charge of making policy can't see how this one issue affects all of it.
Right.
So, all right. Sarah Gadlewski will still be here when we come back from the break. We will take a break. It'll be 2 minutes. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. To As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is Sarah Gadlewski, who is the current state treasurer of Wisconsin and former candidate for U.S. Senate and current manager, CEO, person in charge of Women Win Wisconsin, a new PAC that she started after she ended her campaign for Senate, which I just find it incredibly admirable, because I think out of the candidates that we saw two races, you've been very visible and didn't just kind of hang it up and move on. And so, because there is so much work to do on every level of, like you said, the three-legged stool. And so to see people who understand that this maybe wasn't their time for that position, but that there's so many other ways to still contribute and to help. So like, hats off to you for still focusing on all of this. And I think one of the things we said at the break, which was also the point I was trying to make in the last segment, is abortion and reproductive freedom are often framed as women's issues. And yet we're seeing all of the ways it affects so much more, whether it's recruiting doctors, having available healthcare across the state in different counties instead of just in Madison and Milwaukee, people who choose to move here or to stay here, and let alone, heaven forbid, for the women who have a complication in their pregnancy and then something terrible happens. And then that obviously their partner, their children who are already here, so many different negative ramifications for what is going on right now if we don't actually reinstore. Is that the right word? Restore. Yeah. Let's go with that. Our access to abortion care.
Right. Well, and I will say, I think something that I've really been trying to work on, even just myself, is that I look at these issues and I'm like, women, yay, we got to band together. We've got to like fight for our rights. But then I'm like, no, these aren't just women's issues. These are economic issues. These are issues that impact all of us. And I think sometimes, unfortunately, it's a disservice when we just deem it a woman's issue, when the reality is that choice impacts men, it impacts families, it impacts business. You know, in addition to medical schools that we were talking about in the last segment, I can't tell you how many business owners I've been talking to that are like, we're trying to recruit young families, you know, young women from other states to work in Wisconsin. And they're like, ooh, I don't know. Like, I've heard you've kind of got this abortion ban, and I don't really know what else is next in your state. You seem to be going in the wrong direction. And we are a state where we already are dealing with a quote unquote brain drain, right? Mm-hmm. Where young people are leaving, and we want to keep them here. And so we need to be as family friendly as possible. And that includes making sure that they have access to make their medical decisions with their own doctor. But it also includes things like childcare. I mean, when 54% of our state is in a childcare desert, that's a problem. And when we don't have paid family leave, but states like Illinois and states across this country are developing these policies, like, we're competing against that. And so I think we really need to be very honest about these are impacting our economic status here in the state and whether or not people want to live here.
Yes to all of that. And I don't know how often in the work that you're doing now you're talking to Republican voters, but I always wonder how much that messaging makes sense when talked about that way. And I don't know if you haven't talked to many, you haven't had those conversations, fine. But because it makes so much sense to me as far as the way that this affects so much more than, well, they want abortion up until the last minute. It's like, that is not what we're talking about at all. Because sometimes it feels like we're living in two different universes. And you can see that reflected even in the disparity in the poll, Marquette Law School poll this week, of the top five issues for Republicans, top five issues for Democrats. And then there's some crossover with independents. But how it just sometimes we hear the same information and it gets processed entirely differently. And so we're things that feel very obvious to some of us are not even a blip on the radar for others.
And I think that's why language really matters and how we talk about things really matter. And let's just take access to abortion. I mean, it's not just a medical procedure we're talking about. What we are talking about is a right in literally government interfering with healthcare. I mean, that's what it's about. And when we are talking about, you know, childcare, we're not just talking about a place for kids to go. We're talking about making sure families can participate in the job market, can contribute to our local economies. I mean, and having choice and options to do that. And so I think this goes back to something where we just have to think about, I believe, our language. Because sometimes we actually want the same things, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, but it seems like sometimes our language interferes with our abilities to like agree on this stuff.
And it would help if more Republicans would actually come on the show so we could have those conversations.
We make the offers.
The offer is always there. You are welcome to come on this show. We would love to have a civil, jovial even conversation with you.
Kristen, I will say this has been a really fun 30 minutes. So if nothing else, it's really fun.
We pride ourselves on being a fun show that has a sense of humor. That is our motto, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time.
I know. See? And maybe you'll even let them pick their music when they can come on too. I mean, we could like, you know, throw some like bonus things in there.
Exactly. All right. Well, in the couple minutes that we have left, where can people find more information on your PAC and all the things that you're working on?
Yes. So our website is womenwinwi.com. So standing for Women Win Wisconsin. So womenwinwi.com. And you can find out more about the Women Save the Veto and Women Against Ron Johnson and more about, we're doing actually a virtual event on Monday with Senator Baldwin. And then we're doing an event in Milwaukee actually on the 26th. And so email us and you can find out all that information.
Absolutely. And we'll put all of that on our website, asgoeswisconsin.com. Sarah Guy Lucy, thank you so much for being here.
Kristen, this was so much fun. I look forward to it hopefully again soon.
Hopefully we'll meet in person soon. Have a great day.
Oh my gosh, yes, totally.
All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be back after the break. When I'm thirsty.